Chapter 13, page 151. Intercession of Christ, the second part of his priestly office. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Having considered the first part or act of Christ's priesthood, consisting in his oblation, we come to the other branch of it, consisting in his intercession, which is but the virtual continuation of his offering once made on earth. The second part or branch of his priesthood was typified by the high priest entering with the blood of the sacrifice and sweet incense into the holy place. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, etc. Leviticus 16, verses 12-14. Christ, offering himself on earth, answered to the killing of the sacrifice without, and his entering into heaven, there to intercede, answered to the priest going with blood, and his hands full of incense, within the veil. So that this is a part, yea, a special part of Christ's priesthood, and so necessary to it, that if he had not done this, all his work on earth had been ineffectual. Nor had he been a priest, that is, a complete and perfect priest, if he had remained on earth. Hebrews 8, verse 4. Because the very design and end of shedding his blood on earth had been frustrated, which was to present it before the Lord in heaven. So that this is the perfective part of the priesthood. He acted the first part on earth in a state of deep abasement in the form of a servant, but he acts this in glory, whereto he is taken up, that he may fulfill his design in dying, and give the work of our salvation its last completing act. So much is contained in this scripture, which tells us that by reason hereof he is able to save to the uttermost. These words contain an encouragement to believers to come to God by faith, drawn from the intercession of Christ in heaven for them. In which notice, number one, the character of the persons here encouraged, who are described as going to God by faith, conscious of great unworthiness in themselves. Number two, the encouragement to such believers, drawn from the ability of Jesus Christ, in whose name they go to the Father, to save them to the uttermost, that is, fully, perfectly, completely. Number three, the ground or reason of this, his ability to save, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession, that is, he hath not only offered up his blood to God upon the cross as a full price to purchase pardon and grace for believers, but lives in heaven, and that forever, to apply unto us in the way of intercession all the fruits, blessings, and benefits that this precious blood hath procured. Hence, among other instructions, we learn that Jesus, our high priest, lives forever in the capacity of a potent intercessor in heaven for believers. Here we will inquire what it is for Christ to be an intercessor, by what acts he performs that work in heaven, and in what consists the potency and prevalency of his intercession. Number one, what it is for Christ to be an intercessor for us. To intercede in general is to go between two parties, to entreat, argue, and plead with one for the other. There is the intercession whereby one Christian prays and pleads with God for another, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, and that whereby Christ, as an act of office, presents himself before God to plead for us. Between these two is this difference, that the former is performed not in our own, but in another's name. We can tender no request to God immediately, or for our own sake, either for ourselves or for others. Whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. John 16, 23. But the latter, which is peculiar to Christ, is an intercession with God for us in his own name, on account of his own merit. The one is a private act of charity, the other a public act of office. And so he is our advocate or court friend, as Satan is our accuser or court adversary. Satan is one that charges us before God, 1 Peter 5:8, and continually endeavors to make breaches between us and God. Christ is our advocate that pleads for us and continue peace and friendship between God and us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2 verse 1. Thus to make intercession is the peculiar and incommunicable prerogative of Jesus Christ. None but he can go in his own name to God. And in this sense we may understand the passage, "Then said the Lord unto me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it. Because the Lord God of Israel hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince he shall set in it, to eat bread before the Lord," etc. Ezekiel 44, verses 2 and 3. The great broad gate, called here the Prince's Gate, signifies the abundant and direct entrance of Christ into heaven by his own merits and in his own name. "This, saith the Lord, shall be shut, no man shall enter in by it. All other men must come thither, as it were, by side doors, which looked all towards the altar, namely by virtue of the mediator, and through the benefit of his death imputed to them. And yet though God hath forever shut up and barred this way to all the children of men, telling us that no man shall ever have access to him in his own name, as Christ the Prince had, how do some, notwithstanding, strive to force open the Prince's gate? They do so who found the intercession of saints upon their own works and merits, thereby robbing Christ of his peculiar glory. But all that so approach God approach a consuming fire. Christ only, in the virtue of his own blood, thus comes before him to make intercession for us. Roman numeral 2. We will inquire wherein the intercession of Christ in heaven consists, or by what acts he performs his glorious office there. And the Scriptures place it in three things. Number 1, in his presenting himself before the Lord in our names and upon our account. So we read Hebrews 9:24. Christ is entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Apostle manifestly alludes to the high priest's appearing in the Holy of Holies, which was the figure of heaven, presenting to the Lord the name of the 12 tribes of Israel, which were on his breast and shoulders. Exodus 28, verses 9, 12, 28, and 29. To which the church is supposed to allude in that request, "Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm." Canticles 8, verse 6. Now the very sight of Christ our High Priest in heaven prevails exceedingly with God and turns away his displeasure from us. As when God looks upon the rainbow, which is the sign of the covenant, he remembers the earth in mercy. So when he looks on Christ, he remembers us upon his account. Number 2. Christ performs his intercession work in heaven not only by appearing in the presence of God, but also by presenting his blood and all his sufferings to God as a moving plea on our account. Whether he makes any proper oral intercession there, as he did on earth, is not so clear. "But sure I am, an interceding voice is by a figure attributed to his blood, which in Hebrews 12:24 is said to speak better things than that of Abel. Now Abel's blood, and so Christ's, do cry unto God as the hire of the laborers unjustly detained," James 5:4, or as the whole creation, which is in bondage through our sins, is said to cry and groan in the ears of the Lord, Romans 8:22. Not vocally, but efficaciously. A rare illustration of this efficacious intercession of Christ in heaven we have in the story of Ametus, who appeared as an advocate for his brother Achelaus, who was accused and likely to be condemned to die. Ametus, having performed great services and merited highly of the commonwealth, in whose service one of his hands was cut off in the field, came into the court in his brother's behalf, and said nothing, but only lifted up the stump of his arm, the sight of which so moved them, that without a word said, they freed his brother immediately. Thus in Revelation 5, verse 6, Christ is represented as standing between God and us. "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain," that is, bearing in his glorified body the marks of death and sacrifice. The wounds he received for our sins on earth are, as it were, still fresh bleeding in heaven, a moving and prevailing argument with the Father to give us the mercies for which he pleads. Number 3. And he presents the prayers of his saints to God with his merits, and desires that they may, for his sake, be granted. He causes a cloud of incense to ascend before God with them. Revelation 8, verse 3. All these were excellently typified by the going in of the high priest before the Lord, with the names of the children of Israel on his breast, with the blood of the sacrifice, and his hands full of incense, as the apostle explains them in Hebrews 7 and chapter 9. Roman numeral 3. That this intercession of Christ is most potent, successful, and prevalent with God will be evinced from the qualification of this our advocate, from his great interest in the Father, from the nature of the pleas he uses with God, and from the relation and interest believers have, both in the Father to whom and the Son by whom this intercession is made. Number 1. Our intercessor in the heavens is every way able and fit for the work he is engaged in there. Whatever is desirable in an advocate is in him eminently. It is necessary that he who undertakes to plead the cause of another, especially if it be weighty and intricate, should be wise, faithful, tender-hearted, and resolved on success. Our advocate Christ wants no wisdom to conduct his work. He is the wisdom of God, yea, only wise. Jude 25. And he is no less faithful than wise. Therefore he is called a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Hebrews 2, verse 17. He assures us we may safely trust our concerns with him. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. John 14, verse 2. As if he had said, do you think I would deceive you? Men may deceive you. Your own hearts may and daily do deceive you, but so will not I. And for tender-heartedness and sympathy with your condition, there is none like him. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. That he might the better sympathize with us, he came as near to our condition as the holiness of his nature could permit. He suffered himself to be in all points tempted like as we are, sin only excepted. And as to his interest in the success of his suit, he has really made it his own interest, for by reason of our union with him, all our wants and troubles are his. Ephesians 1, 23. Yea, his own glory as mediator is deeply interested in it, and therefore we need not doubt, but he will use all care and diligence in that work. But further, number 2, consider the great interest he hath in the Father, with whom he intercedes. Christ is his dear Son, Colossians 1:13, the beloved of his soul, Ephesians 1:6. Between him and the Father, there is a unity not only of nature, but of will, and so he always hears him, John 11:42. Yea, he said to his own dear Son, ask of me, and I will give thee, Psalm 2, verse 8. Moreover, number 3, consider the nature of his intercession, which is just and reasonable, and likewise urgent and continual. What he desires, it is becoming the holiness and righteousness of God to grant. And so the justice of God not only does not oppose, but furthers and pleads for the granting and fulfilling of his requests. Here you must remember that the Father is under a covenant to do what he asks, for Christ having fully performed the work on his part, the mercies he intercedes for are as due as the hire of the laborer when the work is faithfully done. And as the matter is just, so the manner of his intercession is urgent and continual. How importunate a suitor he is may be gathered from that specimen given of his intercession in John 17. And for the constancy of it, my text tells us he ever lives to make intercession. And to close all, number 4, consider who they are for whom he makes intercession. The friends of God, the children of God, those that the Father himself loves, and to whom his heart is inclined and ready enough to grant the best and greatest of mercies, which is the meaning of John 16, verse 27, the Father himself loveth you. The first cornerstone of all these mercies was laid by the Father himself in his own purposes of grace. He also delivered his Son for us, and how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8, 32. So then there can remain no doubt but that Christ is a prevalent and successful intercessor in heaven. Inference number one. Doth Christ live forever in heaven to present his blood to God in the way of intercession for believers? How sad, then, is the case of those that have no interest in Christ's blood, but instead of pleading for them, it cries to God against them as its despisers and abusers. Every unbeliever despises it. The apostate treads it underfoot. To be guilty of a man's blood is sad, but to have the blood of Jesus accusing and crying to God against a soul is unspeakably terrible. Surely, when he shall make inquisition for blood, when the day of his vengeance is come, he will make it appear by the judgments he will execute that this is a sin to be expiated, but vengeance shall pursue the sinner to the lowest hell. Ah, what do men do in rejecting the gracious offer of Christ? Alas for that man against whom this blood cries in heaven. Number two. Doth Christ live forever to make intercession? Hence, let believers draw relief and encouragement against all the causes and grounds of their fears and troubles, for surely this answers them all. Let them be encouraged against all their sinful infirmities and lamented weaknesses. It is confessed these are sore evils. They grieve the Spirit of God, sadden your own hearts, cloud your evidences. But having such a high priest in heaven, you must never despair. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. Children, when first beginning to walk, are apt to stumble at every straw. So are young and inexperienced Christians. But though it must be far from them to take encouragement so to do from Christ and his intercession, yet if by surprisal they do sin, let them not be utterly discouraged. For we have an advocate. He stops whatever plea may be brought in against us by the devil or the law, and answers all by his satisfaction. He gets out fresh pardons for all new sins. And this advocate is with the Father. He doth not say with his Father, though that had been a singular support in itself, nor yet with our Father, which is a sweet encouragement singly considered, but with the Father, which takes in both to make the encouragement full. Remember, you that are cast down under the sense of sin, that Jesus, your friend in the court above, is able to save to the uttermost, which is, as one calls it, a reaching word, and extends itself so far that thou canst not look beyond it. Let thy soul be set on the highest mount that any creature ever attained, and enlarged to take into view the most spacious prospect both of sin and misery, and the difficulties of being saved, that ever yet oppressed any poor humble soul. Yea, join to these all the hindrances and objections that the heart of man can invent against itself in salvation. Lift up thine eyes, and look to the utmost thou canst see, and Christ, by his intercession, is able to save thee beyond the horizon and largest compass of thy thoughts, even to the uttermost. Goodwin's Triumph. Hence draw abundant encouragement against deadness of spirit in prayer. Thou complainest thy heart is dead, wandering and contracted in duty. Oh, but remember Christ's blood speaks when thou canst not. It can plead for thee when thou art not able to speak a word for thyself. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Canticles 3, verse 6. The prayers of Christians often go up before God sullied with their offensive corruptions. But remember, Christ perfumes them with myrrh. By his intercession, he gives them a sweet perfume. Christ's intercession is a singular relief to all that come unto God by him, against all sinful and slavish fears from the justice of God. Nothing more promotes the fear of reverence, nothing more suppresses unbelieving despondence and destroys the spirit of bondage. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 21. The intercession of Christ gives admirable satisfaction and encouragement to all that come to God against the fears of deserting him by apostasy. This, my friends, this is your principal security. With this he relieved Peter. Simon, saith Christ, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. As if he had said, Satan will fan thee, not to get out thy chaff, but bolt out thy flour. His temptations are leveled against thy faith. But fear not, my prayer shall break his designs, and secure thy faith against all his attempts upon it. Upon this powerful intercession of Christ, the apostle builds his triumph against all that threatens to bring him, or any of the saints, again into a state of condemnation. And see how he urges on that triumph from the resurrection and session of Christ at the Father's right hand, and especially from the work of intercession which he lives there to perform. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8, verse 34. It gives sweet relief when we are conscious of being sanctified but in part. We want a great deal of faith, love, and heavenly-mindedness, mortification, knowledge. We are short and wanting in all. These are deficiencies or things wanting, as the apostle calls them. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Well, if grace be but yet in its weak beginnings and infancy in thy soul, this may encourage you, that by reason of Christ's intercession it shall live, grow, and increase in thy heart. He is not only the author, but the finisher of it. Hebrews 12, verse 2. He is ever begging new and fresh mercies for you in heaven, and will never cease till all your wants be supplied. He saves to the uttermost, to the last, perfective, completing act of salvation. Number 3. Doth Christ live forever to make intercession? Then let those who reap on earth the fruits of his work in heaven draw instruction thence about the following duties. Do not forget Christ in his exalted state. You see, though he be in glory above, at God's right hand, and enthroned king, he does not forget you. He, like Joseph, remembers his brethren in all his glory. But alas, how oft does advancement make us forget him? As the Lord complains, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. But when they came into Canaan, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Hosea 13, verses 5 and 6. As if he had said, O my people, you and I were better acquainted in the wilderness when you were in a low condition, left to my immediate care, living by daily faith. Then you gave me many a sweet visit, but now you are filled, I hear no more of you. Good had it been for some saints if they had never known prosperity. Let the intercession of Christ in heaven for you encourage you to constancy in the good ways of God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 4, 14. Here is encouragement to perseverance on a double account. One is that Jesus, our head, is already in heaven, and if the head be above water, the body cannot drown. The other is from the work he is there performing, his priesthood. He is passed into the heavens as our great high priest to intercede, and therefore we cannot miscarry. Let it encourage you to constancy in prayer. Oh, do not neglect that excellent duty, seeing Christ is there to present all your petitions to God, yea, to perfume as well as present them. So the apostle infers from Christ's intercession. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 16. Hence be encouraged to plead for Christ on earth, who continually pleads for you in heaven. If any accuse you, he is there to plead for you, and if any dishonor him on earth, see that you plead his interest and defend his honor. Thus you have heard what his intercession is, and what benefits we receive by it. Blessed be God for Jesus Christ.